Mr. Iwata? Mr. Iwata? Oh, wow. Yes, we're ready to start filming the Nintendo Digital Event for E3 2015.
Okay, thank you. I will head directly to the stage.
This is N-Express, E3 edition from soundonsite.org. I'm Tim Mason. With me, as always, are Ricky D.
Hola.
And Aaron Santos.
Hello.
And our very special guest, Ryan Espinoza. We could not be more excited to talk about E3 with you guys. Mm-hmm. In particular, you, Ryan, you had the first-hand experience at E3.
I did, yeah, and it was my first time going.
How was
Wait,
it?
So go ahead and just let us know, what was it like?
Hmm. Oh, man. Well, I live in Phoenix, so it was about a 7-hour drive to LA. But it was pretty great getting there, because as soon as you get off the freeway on the I-10, you pass right under the convention center, and all you see is just this big banner of Fallout 4 and Batman Arkham Knight, and it's really crazy. But the first day... When the show floor opens, you go into the big show floor. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I saw was the whole Persona 4, the whole dancing all night. They had a thing where everyone has to dance with, a professional dancer in order to get a free T-shirt. So that was a pretty interesting way to start the whole show floor off.
So did you dance?
I didn't dance. I didn't get the courage to dance.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
The first thing I wanted to do when I got to the show floor was get to the Star Fox Zero demo, because I knew that would be like really crazy. Mm-hmm. And it was. It took me like an hour to get just to play the game.
Jeez.
All right. Well, we're going to ask you about the game in our second segment. But before we get onto games in the E3 digital event, how is it like being at E3 as a member of the press? You, for example, you say you had to wait in line for an hour just to play Star Fox. Like, was it overcrowded? Did you find yourself more in line than actually participating in the event? Did you get to meet a lot of people?
It was pretty crowded. I just got an email saying that there were like attendance records that like 52,000 people showed up this year. Hmm. So, and it really showed in the show floor.
Yeah.
There were about like, just for the Star Fox demo, there were probably a good 8 kiosks showing the game, and it was still probably an hour wait just to get to it. But other than that, like, that was probably the busiest game. Everything else probably took about like 10 minutes to play. But you just see everyone in the industry there. I saw I don't know if you know Stephen Totilo, the editor-in-chief of Kotaku. I saw him walking by. You just see Angry Joe. Keith Apicary, these famous YouTube stars walking by. Mm-hmm. I even got to see Reggie. He was doing a little promo thing right next to the Star Fox, and I got to record a little bit of him. But it was really crazy.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just this big event. Just like, you just can't get away from anything. You just go to Nintendo. Right next to Nintendo is Sony. Right next to Sony is Microsoft. And these like little things just everywhere, like little anime or little indie games, just like scatter around. Like, so you just like no time for just waiting or just sitting down or anything. You're always on the move.
Okay, now, did you actually go to any of the big press conferences?
I didn't get to. I was actually trying to sneak my way into the Sony one, which was, it wasn't at E3, like the LA Convention Center. It was a little ways down at the LA Memorial Sports Arena. But you need actually to, it's like an invite only, like you need a badge or something. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to like get in there, but yeah, they ended up not letting me.
All right. So what was your highlight?
I honestly just getting into E3, the first few seconds, just seeing everything, like being in E3 was like one of my dreams, and like seeing like the whole stand for Dark Souls 3, all the advertisements, everyone in their like gear. There's like zombies walking around advertising Walking Dead and Payday and stuff like that. Mm. It's just this whole atmosphere. It's just insane. Like, just you see this video, you see Nintendo, and then you see Ratchet walking by. It's just insanity.
You see, we make dreams come true over here at SoundInsight.org.
That is true.
What had the best exhibit?
I would say Bethesda's. Mm-hmm. They had, of course, they had, you know, the whole Fallout 4 thing. They had Doom there. They had the whole old BFG on display. Oh, and they also had like the Mr. Gutsy, yeah. Fallout 4. Man. He was like moving around telling jokes. So that was really fun. Other than that, I would say Nintendo. Mm-hmm. They had like for the demos for Star Fox Zero, you get into like this like makeshift R-Wing just to play it. It was really crazy.
Wow.
You hear that, people? Nintendo. They still have a great showcase. What was the best non-Nintendo game you tried out? Or the best game you tried out?
Other than Nintendo, I would say the one that really struck me was Cuphead for the Xbox One. That was, like, I'm not an Xbox fan at all, but I would say playing that would probably convince me to get one. It's just this old school arcade style shooter kind of deal, but it's like platform as well. But the art style is like 1930s cartoon. So it's like just so different than anything, you know, I saw on the show floor. And the guy was there too, the creator. And so he was like really hyped just to see everyone enjoying the game and getting everyone's impressions of it.
Did you get to speak to any of the developers of these games?
The Cuphead guy.
Okay.
He was. I didn't speak to him too long because he was interviewing. He was talking with the Microsoft reps.
Okay. Okay.
But, yeah, he was just really enjoying the whole vibe of it and all.
I have only heard good things about that game, so I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah. That Star Fox Zero was great. I got my hands on Street Fighter V.
How'd that play?
They had a whole. They had actually a whole tournament set up. They had a. Famous Street Fighter competitor Justin Wong there. And...
Okay, yeah.
Did you attend the Nintendo World Championship as well?
I did not. I got there actually right at the time it started, but I was catching it online. I was streaming it.
All right.
But yeah, that was some fun stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about it on the last podcast. We did a whole hour dedicated to their Sunday events, including the Direct and the Nintendo World Championship. So if you haven't listened to our last podcast, I highly recommend it.
I'm not in it, but it was really good. So you really should go listen to it.
Yeah, I think I lost my shit at one point just freaking out over Super Mario Maker.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
And Ryu.
Yeah.
You were kind of stoked on that, too, for a while.
I've been playing Smash ever since Sunday. Like, Splatoon and every game I own has been put on the back burner, and all I am playing is Smash.
Exclusively playing as Ryu?
No. I'm playing a lot with my older nephew. He just finished school, and he's really good at Smash. I've been playing with him. He has a new champ. He's been playing with Marth now, and so I'm trying to find a character I can beat him with. And in order to beat Marth, I need to use Mac. But my previous champion, Ike, I can't beat Marth with Ike. Not when my nephew Nathan plays. So, yeah.
Can you beat Marth with Roy?
I don't have Roy yet. I'm actually going to download him today.
I haven't downloaded him either, but yeah. I'm so excited that he's back.
I got Ryu, and I got Lucas, and I got a bunch of stages and some of the Mii guys, but I didn't get Roy yet.
He's so good.
Mm, he is.
Sweet. I think that'll just about do it for our first segment, Nintendosage. We will take a brief break and get right into our main event, a discussion of the Wii U games featured in Nintendo's presentation. So stick around.
I can do better than that.
Welcome back to N Express. we are to the main event, where we are going to discuss the presentation that Nintendo gave on the 16th. Specifically, we're going to talk about the digital event, not the content in it, but the presentation itself. You guys, Muppets, Transformation, what did you think?
Bad.
What?
I didn't like it.
You did not like the intro?
No, you know what? The whole thing was charming, but I was like, I was just sitting back. I'm like, can we just see some real games now? I don't know.
Wow. I completely disagree. I think it started strong. I like the way they incorporated these clever gags, the Star Fox music in the background. It was clear they were
going to open. It was clever.
It was clever. And yeah. We all knew they were going to open up with Star Fox. And I like how they slowly tease Star Fox. First is with music in the background. And then, of course, the character started slowly changing into the iconic Star Fox characters. I love the fact that it was Iwata, Miyamoto, and Reggie. All, you know, I could focus on all three of them. The puppets were made from the Jim Henson Company. Mm-hmm. So it's the same dudes that make, you know, Sesame Street and the Muppets. So that's why it looks so damn flipping good. I thought the opening was amazing. It was silly, but I like how Nintendo isn't afraid to poke fun at itself. And so it had all the right playful notes, in my opinion. As far as the presentation goes, I think it had the strongest opening of any press conference. And I know Sony, there was The Last Guardian, but honestly, like, it was creative, it was original, it was smart, it was perfect for Nintendo. It might not have worked for Microsoft or Sony or Square Enix, but I thought it was exactly what Nintendo needed to open the digital event.
Yeah, Miyamoto's puppet coming out of a pipe was just my favorite.
Yeah, totally. Ryan, what did you think of the opening?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really fitting to start off as the Muppets, but also to introduce Star Fox, because, or was it back in the 92 or whatever when the first Star Fox came out? That's what the whole deal was with the Muppets, or like the puppets.
Right.
The Star Fox puppets. So I thought it was, you know, a fitting tribute to it.
Completely agree. I thought it was perfect. The opening was perfect. The problem with the digital event, in my opinion, was first and foremost the closing, because they crash landed. That last final, what was it, like 6-7 minutes?
You didn't like when they were all playing?
Oh my God. Eye rolling. So bad. It does not belong on the E3 big digital event and or press conference. You don't have a bunch of people we don't know playing Super Mario music around the world, and this weird montage to promote a website. That's something you do in your direct. You don't do that in your big E3 digital presentation. That is all about showing off games, not showing off a website. Horrible. That's like the worst thing they've ever done. Honestly, it was so bad. It was such a downer to end on that whole montage sequence, in my opinion.
But they didn't really show much gameplay of anything. It was just announcements that lasted 2 minutes long.
You know what? Yes and no. You're right.
Compared to the other showcase, I mean, it was just it felt a little off-putting watching it.
Okay, let's be fair here. Okay, Sony had the best press conference, period. But it was all fan service. I mean, if you look at Sony's press conference, it was about 75% trailers and or animated cutscenes. They did not show gameplay. Okay, Nintendo showed at least 10 minutes of gameplay from Star Fox, Super Mario Maker, and Yoshi Woolly World. They're three big games for this year. They only showed a trailer for Xenoblade Chronicles X. It's true, they did show a lot of trailers. There was this whole, I think, like 7-minute portion of the show where it was like these weird Japanese anime sort of Fire Emblem. Xenoblade Chronicles, some game whose title hasn't yet been decided, so they decided to like name it like something that we can't pronounce, and which ends with like a hashtag. Like, I don't even know what the name of this game is. I'm just like, what? but they did show a lot of gameplay for their three big games coming out this year.
Yeah, this year, which, like, not to jab at Sony, but everything was 2016. So, okay, that's cool. Really good presentation, but nothing playable anytime soon.
So glad you said that, because it's true. Sony had the best presentation because it was all fan service, and they gave us the games that we want, but none of those games are coming out in 2015.
No.
And so, minus that montage sequence at the end, they made a huge mistake in eliminating the Zelda footage, specifically if they had gameplay footage, because Reggie said he had something ready for the Zelda game. I think they made a huge mistake in eliminating anything to do with Zelda in this press conference. I think that if they opened with Star Fox, still focused on Super Mario Maker, especially after the Nintendo World Championship, focused on Yoshi's Woolly World, which everyone who's played it so far loves it, and then you cut out, say, for example, like the montage and one or two things on the side, and you add in like a 15-minute presentation of Zelda, and you end it with Zelda, I don't think anyone would be complaining about the presentation.
No, I don't think so. Yeah,
that would like completely rival the Uncharted footage and completely crush the really, really dull announcement of Gears of War 4.
Mm.
That was like, what's mm-hmm. the opposite of a surprise? That was what Gears of War 4 was.
I mean, I was there at E3, and we were all, everyone was like crowded around a few monitors, and you know, everyone popped, everyone was laughing for the Muppet segments, and then they popped really loud for the Star Fox. But like, by the time the whole weird ending happened, everyone was kind of like dispersing, kind of looking at their watches, trying to get to the Square Enix press conference. And yeah, it was just a really, like, just a down way to end the show, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think we all agree. I think it started strong and it slowly started to wind down into an incredibly big mess. I mean, it was a huge mess towards the end. I think the thing is that my problem with the press conference is I understand that they're focusing on games that are coming out in the near future, but none of these games were news. Like, we all knew we were getting Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew we were getting Super Mario Maker. And we all knew we were getting Yoshi's Woolly World, right? So those are their three big Wii U games and Xenoblade Chronicles X. We know we're getting these games. Xenoblade Chronicles X has been released in Japan already. Super Mario Maker has been featured in Directs and in the Nintendo World Championship, which was mind-blowing. Star Fox, yes, we got the very first footage of Star Fox. I can't complain about that.
No.
But the problem with this event is I think that, you know, when you go to E3, you need to have one big surprise if you want to be taken seriously, right? Sony had plenty. Sony had plenty.
Oh, they had one big surprise. Is that the whatchamacallit, the Blast Ball game? It was actually a Metroid game. That was my big surprise.
Okay, come on, let's be serious here. I'm talking about a big surprise that people are gonna flip out over.
Yeah.
You know, fan service, like, that is not the Metroid game we want.
No, it isn't.
Okay, and like the thing is, it's like, yeah, they have these games, but there's no big surprise. And what I don't understand about Nintendo, and I'm gonna end my review of the actual press conference before we move on to games, is since when did Nintendo decide to only show games coming out in the near future at an E3 event? Because can I remind Nintendo that they showed Zelda footage last year? So why was it okay to show it last year? But
it's funny that you bring that up. Today, IGN did an interview with Reggie, and he explained that at that point, they thought that Zelda was a 2015 game, so they were okay showing it in 2015, and then it got pushed back, so now it's a 2016 game.
Yeah, but I don't.
So they're not gonna show it off.
I read the interview and it's total bullshit because they showed off games that are only coming out in 2016 still, like Fire Emblem, If or Fake or whatever the hell you call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out in 2016, along with many games that they showcased in this event. So unless you're telling me that Zelda is only coming out in 2016, like December, like almost 2017, then that's a different story. You know, I don't buy it. Like, look, in all honesty, I think they are delaying Zelda as long as possible because I think we're going to get a repeat of the Twilight Princess in the sense that the Twilight Princess was delayed by Nintendo to allow its developers to supposedly refine the game, add more content, and port it to the Wii because that game was originally released for GameCube.
Yeah.
So when it came out, you could buy it and play it on your GameCube or you can buy it and play it on your Wii. And so a lot of people think, and I'm a believer of this too, I think they're delaying the game as much as possible so it's close to the NX release, if NX is coming out within the next year and a half. That's what I think. I don't know.
They've said it's a Wii U game. Mm-hmm. I honestly think next year's the 30th anniversary. I think they're kind of stalling, and they're going to do a Zelda Direct here real soon is my guess, and announce a lot of stuff that has to do with the Zelda anniversary, probably gonna do, whether it be like more concerts like we got with the 25th anniversary, whether that like Netflix show is going to be a real deal and they're kind of like stalling until they can do a big double announcement. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're just saving it for a Zelda specific direct.
Well, no, I know they are telling the truth when they say it will be a Wii U game, but they're not saying it won't be available on the NX. I mean, that could mean that the NX is backwards compatible and or it's just also available for the NX. I'm not sure, but I agree with you. I mentioned this a few podcasts ago that they are clearly delaying it for the 30-year anniversary of the Zelda series, which is next year in Japan. At the same time, it's also the 30-year anniversary of Metroid. And it's also the 25-year anniversary of Mega Man. And I know Mega Man's Capcom, but I'm just saying, like, you know, like, that's the Metroid game you're going to give us? Like, it's going to be 30 years next year, dude. So I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, you know what the advantage is with Nintendo, though, is that they could have a Nintendo Direct every month or every other month. So, I mean, doesn't really surprise me that there's not like super big announcements at E3, especially given the fact that they can announce it anytime they want.
So yeah, maybe I'm being hopeful, but I'm hoping that they're waiting until like early next year to give us some really huge announcements, because none of these games are console sellers. They're all just kind of like bonus stuff thrown in for those of us that already have both the consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I still understand why people are upset. They were expecting something big. Like for me, it's like Christmas. It's like Christmas for gamers, right?
Well, yeah.
And it'll be the equivalent of like you have a kid and your kid gives you a list of gifts that he or she wants, like the big gifts. Like, you know, if your kid could get one big gift, and like, I don't know, on the list is like an iPhone and a laptop and a Nintendo Wii U and a Sony and an Xbox, whatever. And then so they assume that they hope they're going to get one of these, like one, at least one big gift that's on their list, right? Mm-hmm. And then come Christmas, you give them like a board game. You know what I mean? And Nintendo gave us a board game, which we're going to talk about very shortly. And then that's like so disappointing. So yeah, Nintendo has Directs. And I do believe that in a way it could benefit Nintendo if they spread out their big announcements throughout the year. Mm-hmm. But I still think they made a huge mistake in not showing any Zelda footage, because they did not have enough to show us in this 45 to 55 minute digital presentation. Yeah. And you know how we have proof? Because they gave us a 10-minute montage of people dancing and singing the Super Mario music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, like,
but what they got right and what was right last year is the developer stories. I think that of all that they did, like, Muppets are fun. Mm-hmm. The intro was really silly and engaging. But when they're doing the developer stories, it's really, really cool to see these huge names from Nintendo talk about what they're doing and where they got these ideas. Like, who knew Star Fox came from just seeing arcs?
Yeah. No, it was really cool. I actually did kind of care, you know, watching Miyamoto talk about his inspiration for creating Star Fox. I thought that was pretty good in the show.
I think it's far more engaging than just having some developer come out on stage and
plus it was a say, plus like, a plus
buy
a
console.
Yeah, plus it was a really good way to show off more of Star Fox. So
just a really intimate way to get in touch with the developers, like the whole the developer who knitted the whole Yoshi for Yoshi's Woolly World. I thought that was really cool and how they like spotlighted that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I actually like the way they intercut the interviews with the gameplay. I totally agree. I think a lot of people still were a little let down because they didn't really talk about the actual game. Like, they talked about their inspirations and whatnot. For me personally, I find it interesting because, like, I've said this many times in the podcast, like, these guys are artists, right? Yeah. And this is their passion, their hobby, their love. This is what they do. Mm-hmm. So it's no different than a filmmaker and or a comic book writer or, you know, someone who makes music. To them, it's an art form. So they aren't interested in just making a sequel and or making a buck. They are, you know, it's an art form for them, right? So for me, I appreciate seeing these interviews with these people who, you know, we had not known existed until we saw this Nintendo digital presentation.
Well, everybody knew Miyamoto, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, not everyone. I'm sure there's people who don't know who he is, you know. It could be like a first time watch for some like 10-year-old kid who's never watched E3 presentations before, and it's the first time he discovers him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is great.
True.
People should know who he is because he's a genius. He's a genius. The guy's like he's just amazing. I love him. So yeah.
One of the yeah. greatest one of the greatest game designers of our time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Change gaming forever.
One of the greatest artists, period. No matter what form of art.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. All right. So before we get into that discussion of video games as art, let's talk about the games, guys. Like, presentation, it was good. Really, really lame ending. But the games. Let's get into the discussion of the real letdown of this presentation.
Wow, you want to start on a negative note? I thought we were going to start on the Wii U games.
Okay.
It's a 3DS game.
Because we're going to start on the Wii U games, take a break, and then come back and do the 3DS games.
Okay.
So unless Tim is referring to the second big disappointment, the Amiibo game for Animal Crossing.
Oh, the...
I'm just saying, Metroid fans were not the only ones that were kind of given the middle finger and told that you deal with it.
Okay, so Tim, enlighten us. What exactly are you referring to?
Okay, let me just... Animal Crossing is awesome, and I don't necessarily need another Animal Crossing game yet. I'm still having fun with New Leaf occasionally, I'll be real with you. But telling us that you have a brand new Wii U game that's basically Mario Party 10, but you have to buy millions of Animal Crossing amiibos that just got announced, that have no other, like, known use outside of this one game that is a board game.
Yeah.
The board game for Christmas. Like, what is that about? This is not, like, a world premiere. This is, like, a world letdown.
You know what, Tim? I'm gonna agree with you. I think this is the best you to the audience, not the Metroid, because we don't know anything about Metroid, and you never know. Nintendo could surprise us with the Metroid game. This is a disaster. You don't have to play the game to know that this is the stupidest idea they've made since that game where you had to change babies' diapers. What the hell? And I love how you need amiibo figures to play this game. Can I just remind Nintendo that you can't buy amiibo figures unless you go on eBay and are willing to spend over $50 on one figure?
No, now I feel exactly. I feel like they're just trying to justify having a reason to buy the game, to buy more amiibos now.
Can you imagine if the Animal Crossing figures are sold out on the very first day, how pissed off people are going to be?
I wouldn't be surprised, though.
Okay, we're talking about just the figures. There's also, they announced the cards are coming, right? And I looked online and I was like, how many are they? Like, you can buy a pack. There are hundreds. Like, collector meltdown. There are hundreds of these cards to get. So good luck trying to find your favorite villager or whatever.
Well, it's better 100 cards than 100 figures.
That's true.
Can you imagine?
Every character from Animal Crossing ever.
Oh, Santa Maria, this is horrible.
Just watching like the game in action, I was like, oh my god, like, says, what is this?
it looks like a mini game attached to a real Animal Crossing game. Like, that's what it looks like it should be.
Yeah.
So
like, Smashville or whatever the hell it was called that Ricky really likes on Smash Bros. It's that, but it's a full game apparently.
No.
The Smash Tour was fun.
Smash Tour is a
fun. No. Yeah, Smash Bros. Is fun.
Okay, so Ryan, you were there live at E3 watching a presentation with hundreds of people surrounding you. What was the reaction when they announced Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival?
Okay, well, the most interesting thing is when they first announced it, you automatically think, oh, is this Animal Crossing for Wii U? Is this like a full-fledged Animal Crossing game? And then you start seeing these little spaces on a thing, and then everyone just starts going, oh no. And then they just get really quiet. Like, they start getting a little pop, like, oh. But then as soon as they start seeing the dice roll, they like just dead silent. They're like, okay, well, let's see what's going on here.
Yeah.
Wow. If they would have made like an Animal Crossing fighting game where all your favorite villagers are fighting to the death, it maybe would have been a great idea. Like Smash Bros, but they're just like walking around.
You know what's sad? So when I listed my 10 wild predictions for Nintendo, the funny thing is we sort of got most of my predictions. It's just not exactly what I wanted. Like, I said they would make an amiibo game. It would be a game specifically made for amiibos, and I was thinking specifically amiibo trading cards, and we got it, but it's like this stupid what's it called? Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival game? Like, oh my god. Okay, so anyhow, so that was, I think, the biggest letdown, on at least on the Wii U side of things.
One of them.
Yeah. what you're saying there was more?
Well, we'll get to it, I guess, when you go into 3DS.
Okay, well, let's go down the list here. So, Super Mario Maker. Ryan, did you actually get a chance to play this game?
I did. They had like 20 kiosks ready to go, so it's kind of hard to miss it. But yeah, I mean, that game's awesome.
Were you playing the levels from the championship?
No, they didn't have those. Yeah, we were just, it just kind of like lets you make some, and it also like lets you go through some pre-made ones.
Okay.
But yeah, and being able to like change everything to like different, like Super Mario World, new Super Mario Brothers, that's really cool. Like, that game's gonna be awesome.
Did you see the package they're releasing with the game? Well, first of all, the actual cover of the game is incredible. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But the game comes with a book. It's like 100 pages, I believe. It's 100 pages that illustrates the boundless possibilities in Super Mario Maker, which is amazing. Yeah. And then they showed off the Amiibo figures, which I think look fantastic, like the 8-bit Mario, for example. Mm-hmm. But the best thing is the mystery mushroom. Does anybody want to talk about the mystery mushroom before I lose my mind?
Amiibo!
So this item allows Mario to take the appearance of any character who's at least released as Amiibo form, like Link, like Kirby, like Wii Fit Trainer. You basically get to play with this character in a Super Mario game. And so the funny thing about this is, who do they decide to showcase in the event? The Wii Fit Trainer. And I'm like, oh, right, the one figure that's been sold out for almost a year.
they just want to remind everybody, it's like, hey, go get this one.
Yeah.
they did use that to transition between what game they're about to show also, which was really, really cool. Good segment changer. Mario turning into Link, and you're like, oh, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a cool little cutscene, and then you're like, oh, that's actually in the game? Who knew?
Yeah, that's true.
That's neat.
So Super Mario Maker, I mean, look, we've talked about it enough on the show. I guess we'll review it when it actually comes out, but everyone was excited about Super Mario Maker. I think it's a fantastic game. Next up was Yoshi's Woolly World. Ryan, did you play this game?
I did. I played someone else, because there's a two-player. You either play with someone in line or one of the little the people working there. But yeah, I don't know if you guys played Kirby's Epic Yarn. It's just a mixture of that with Yoshi's Island. Fantastic. You can like grieve your opponents by, or not your opponent, but your ally, by like making them into an egg and not letting them play. But they can like break out and then like shoot you at an enemy. So that was the whole. That was my demo experience, just trying to cooperate with my supposed friend. But yeah, I just love the way it looks.
No, I think
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I think the art style and just the design of that game is just absolutely, I don't know, it's absolutely beautiful.
It's a beautiful looking game. I like the fact that it comes with a dog. I like that dude, a little dog. I think the Amiibo is really going to enhance the gameplay. Like, it adds new features, it adds mellow mode, which gives Yoshi wings, for example. I'm really excited for this game. In fact, you know what? I think I'm more excited for Yoshi's Woolly World than I am for Star Fox, even though Star Fox looks amazing.
I am definitely more excited for this game than Star Fox.
Yeah. And I think for me personally, it's because of the gameplay. Like, I think it's easy for me to imagine holding a controller, even if it's a gamepad, and playing Yoshi's Woolly World, because it's basically like a platformer, right? Mm-hmm. Like side-scrolling platformer.
Yeah.
And it looks beautiful and fantastic. And like I said, everyone who's written reviews of the game so far, who's been lucky enough to play it, are just raving about how good it is and how adorable it is and how colorful it is and how artistic it is. So this is like a given. I'm buying this game the first day it comes out. I'm going to pre-order it if I can today. Now Star Fox Zero. Now, Ryan, you played Star Fox Zero. I need to know, because
I did.
Here's the thing. I think the game looks incredible. Like, just watching the footage, knowing that there's these giant bosses that you can battle, the graphics, the everything about it, the sound design, the music, I think it looks brilliant. My worry is the actual gameplay. What's it like actually playing Star Fox Zero?
Well, I mean,
just flying the R-Wing, going through like the on-rail parts, mm-hmm. that plays exactly like how you remember it in 64.
Yeah.
Like that's just like just a nostalgia embrace right there. But then you start getting into the whole all range mode. And the weird thing is that they added like a whole targeting system where like you'll be flying around, but if you press the L trigger, mm-hmm. you'll like look at like your objective or like an enemy in the area.
Okay.
But like you'll still be flying in the direction you were, so you have to look down onto the gamepad, and like the gamepad is like first person mode.
Okay.
So it's kind of really weird because like if you're in first person mode, it's kind of hard mm-hmm. to like navigate through things.
Mm-hmm.
Like targeting, it's just such a weird transition, going just like piloting straight on and then pressing the L trigger and then looking at something else. But the R-Wing is still going in a weird direction that you have, like, kind of just a weird perspective. It just, the controls are just kind of weird. It's just, to me, they didn't feel right in that section.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, overall, it was cool, like the Walker, transforming uh-huh. into the Walker just by pressing A. That was pretty cool. Like, you can reach enemies that you probably can't target on in the R-Wing. So that was really cool.
Because it's weird, because I would figure that having two unique viewpoints would offer the game some sort of advantage in terms of being a little bit more creative and a little bit more adventurous, you know? Like, that's the thing like about Nintendo, is how they're always willing to explore new ways of playing video games, but at the mm-hmm. same time, the cockpit view on the gamepad did worry me, because I was like, well, I have to look at two screens, like, and look at the gamepad to aim and shoot, mm-hmm. and I was, like, a little worried mm-hmm. about how easy it would be, but I mean, Affordable Space Adventures, which just got released not too long ago, I mean, that game relies on the gamepad, and in fact you can have three mm-hmm. people to help you steer your ship and do what you got to do in order to like beat the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That game requires three people. This is, it's basically asking you for like one person to like control the spaceship, and yet you need to look at two screens. I don't know, like, I think it's interesting, and I'm curious to try it out, and I do love Star Fox the franchise, but I'm a little worried that I might not like the controls.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my biggest scares too. I was worried that the controls might not play as good.
Yeah, the controls are really off-putting, especially like if you've played the 64 version.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but like, you know, barrel rolling.
Yeah.
They took that away from the shoulder buttons. That's all right stick. So
really?
That takes a lot of getting used. Yeah, like you have to flick it twice to the right to do uh-huh. a right barrel roll, and then left twice to a left barrel roll.
Huh. Interesting. You know, it's funny because the thing is, a lot of people say that Nintendo relies too much on their games from the past, like their franchise from the past, like Mario and Star Fox in this case, and Zelda, and they need to find ways to reinvent themselves and to create new games. But the thing is, like, Nintendo does do this. Like, when it comes to a franchise like Star Fox, they do something new, in this case with Star Fox Zero. Like, it is a completely new experience for fans of the franchise. But then we also do get mm-hmm. new IPs. Like, can I remind everyone that a game called Splatoon was just released, and that yeah. is something they tried for the very first time.
And it works.
And everyone mm-hmm. loves it. So it's just weird because everyone's always criticizing Nintendo for not doing exactly what it is that they actually do. Like, mm-hmm. they actually do find ways to reinvent their franchises, and they do still release new IPs. And the thing is, it's like these games are all being released by Nintendo. Like, when you look over at Sony, like, mm-hmm. they have no first-party games this year except for two, I think. And all of the games that were announced for Sony are coming out next year, and most of them are still third-party. So the problem mm-hmm. with Nintendo is it just doesn't have third-party support. It's not Nintendo making games. It's the fact that it just does not have third-party support.
Mm-hmm.
If Nintendo had the third-party support that Sony had, I don't think anybody would be complaining.
No, of course not.
Nope. You would have a lot more to talk about.
Oh, right? Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Yeah.
All right, so quickly moving along. I do not give a crap about this, but maybe you guys do. Skylander Superchargers from Activision?
No.
No.
Yeah, no.
No. God, I'm just trying to figure out, is Nintendo trying to become a toy company instead of a video game company nowadays? Because, like, this whole game seems like focused on just releasing these sort of amiibo figures, but not, they're like a hybrid between Skylanders and amiibo, and we get the first two characters released are like Donkey Kong and Bowser. Like, I'm not interested in this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to talk about Just Dance from Ubisoft. We're gonna skip it. And Xenoblade Chronicles X, again, like, we only had a trailer. I was actually shocked that they announced that the game would be released December 4th because I didn't think that they were actually ready to release the game stateside because I thought they were maybe taking too long in actually localizing the game, you know? Mm. But according to them, December 4th. But the thing is, they still have only shown us one trailer. We still haven't seen gameplay with, you know, English text. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this game gets delayed. And that's about it. And then there's, of course...
Mario Tennis. Don't forget Mario Tennis. I'm excited for that one.
I was getting to Mario Tennis. Okay, so when we did our E3 predictions, I said we would get some sort of, like, new weird soccer game, which we'll talk about later on. And Aaron, you said we would most likely get a tennis game. Well...
Right, like, on the nose.
We were both right, sort of.
Well, yeah.
So Mario Tennis Ultra Smash. I don't know. I'm kind of over the Super Mario Nintendo character sports games. I honestly am. I mean, I'm most likely going to buy it if it's cheap enough. You know, if they're going to be charging me like $80, no thank you. It does look like a lot of fun.
Well, which is what Mario Tennis is. It's fun playing that sports of tennis, but also having the crazy power ups you would see in the Mario world.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know. I've always been a sucker for it since the N64. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm most likely going to buy this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just if you like the franchise, specifically Mario Tennis, you'll probably get this. But if it doesn't really interest you or you're just over it, probably skip it. I'll probably skip it.
Yeah, and the other game is called Genai Ubin Roku hashtag FE, which is like... I know it's a working title, but it's like the silliest working title ever because that working title is just does not make any sense to anybody. I don't even think it makes sense to people in Japan, to be honest. Like, forget about us
here. Just saying something.
Yeah. So I'm not really interested in this game. But that's it. Like, the problem is, and I wrote up this article over at soundinsight.org, and I was trying not to be too harsh on the digital presentation, but I kind of feel like this digital presentation makes me think that Nintendo has given up on the Wii U, and maybe they are just focusing on the games coming out in the next like year or so. But at the same time, there's a part of me that thinks like maybe they gave up on the Wii U, and that is why I honestly just want them to announce something about the NX, because I want to know if the NX is coming out in a year, in 2 years, or 3 years. Because I got my Wii U last Christmas, right? It hasn't been that long. And I put a lot of money into my Wii U with controllers and purchasing games on the virtual console. And even the games I bought, like Splatoon and Mario Party, and they're pretty expensive, you know? So I would like my console to last a little longer. So, yeah.
I don't think they're giving it up quite yet. I just think that the 3DS is kind of stealing all its thunder right now, and that we're just gonna have to wait for some of the big games that we do want, like Zelda.
Exactly. Ryan, anything else you need to add or want to add about the Wii U and E3's presentation of games on the Wii U?
No, I was just gonna say I totally agree. The feeling I got was that they were kind of giving up on the Wii U. A lot of 3DS games, a few Wii U games, but not too many big ones. As a Wii U owner, watching that, it kind of worried me. Like, I don't know how long, you know, I have left to play with the Wii U before, you know, they're gonna start focusing on the NX.
Well, you know, even though my article I wrote up over at soundinsight.org was somewhat negative about the digital presentation, I did say that the games they announced are mostly being released in 2015, and I think Yoshi's Woolly World, Star Fox Zero, Xenoblade Chronicles X, and Super Mario Maker, along with Splatoon, will keep me busy into 2016.
Yep. Not to mention the 3DS games that we have coming out, right? That'll do it for our discussion of the Wii U at E3 this year. I am tuning out for the last section, but you're in good hands. You can find me on Twitter at The Freemason. That is M-A-I-S-O-N, as well as on soundonsite.org in the game section.
And we will be right back. That would be myself, Ricky, Aaron, and Ryan to discuss the rest of Nintendo's digital events. You are listening to N Express, the official Nintendo podcast of soundonsite.org.
Wedlam Barty and the rest of them.
Captain Fox McCloud, serial number 30193.
With the rest of your friends, shitty old.
Captain Fox McCloud, serial number.
Oh, that's real f***ing cute. Yeah, that's right. You f***ing remember me. Turn around, asshole. I want to see your face.
Fine. O'Donnell, he's for the Emperor, you idiot.
Wait, wait, wait!
I said turn around. I want to see your face when I'm talking to you.
Hey, my communicator's fried.
And I'm sure you'll find a way to fix it. You are the great Fox McCloud, after all.
Welcome back to the N-Express podcast. This is our E3 special, and right now we're going to talk about the games announced for the 3DS. So, Ryan, now you were there. So, at E3, do they have like a booth for specifically like the Wii U, and then somewhere else it would be like the 3DS, or is it all just mixed?
Actually, no booths for 3DS. It's all Wii U. What they do is they have, I guess the booth girls, they have them tied this weird contraption where it's like hooked up to like three 3DSs, and they'll like come up to you and say, hey, do you want to play Mario and Luigi, or hey, do you want to play Chibi Robo, and then like you like play while it's still like connected to them. So
really,
that's how you get to play your 3DS games there.
Wow, that is strange. So can you walk around with your own 3DS at the event?
Oh yeah, there were a lot of people actually with 3DSs.
Okay.
I didn't bring mine, but I could just only imagine how many street passes you'd get there.
All right, so the digital event focused heavily on the 3DS, I think, in my opinion. And one of the big surprises was The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a hybrid of A Link Between Worlds and Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventure, mm-hmm. which was released on GameCube. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody remembers that game. The funny thing is that in this game, they downsize it to three players because having four players would be problematic with the 3D view from the 3DS, which is why they have three players instead of four players like Four Swords Adventures had four players. So I don't know, guys. I'm like really confused about this game. Like, I know some people think it's promising. I'm not interested in this game at all. And what I wrote in my article is like, I kind of felt like it was a slap in the face because no matter what kind of Zelda game you can show us at E3, no one's going to be satisfied unless it's the Zelda game that we all want to see, the open world Legend of Zelda game for the Wii U. And we didn't get it. Instead, we get The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes. And I don't know, this to me was, apart from the Animal Crossing game, my biggest disappointment of the digital event.
I thought it looked okay. I mean, like, it was exactly like you said. Like, it's co-op, it was dungeon crawling. It looked like a lot of fun. I mean, the puzzles seemed interesting, and the art style was nice. Everything that was presented, just gameplay mechanic wise, I thought it was interesting. It wasn't all that disappointing.
Ryan, did you have a chance to see this at the E3 event?
Yeah, they had a booth. You know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It gives you a different, you know, way to look at the dungeons.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to like co-op with two other people, but other than that, I mean, it's not something to brag home about. It's just a little filler. I would say a little filler Zelda game.
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly it, right? I mean, like, it's not bad, but it's not exactly what we want to see, Which is what Nintendo kind of did a lot in this press conference.
Yeah, well, do you remember when they showed Hyrule Warriors for the very first time and everyone was, like, so angry because they were like, this is not the Zelda game we wanted? Mm-hmm. I mean, that game ended up being okay. Some people love it. Like, I know one guy who says it's, like, one of his favorite games of the year, last year. And I played that game for, like, 6 hours and that was it. I was done.
Mm-hmm. Also, what, Dynasty, Dynasty Warriors with Zelda characters? Like...
Yeah, essentially it's Dynasty Warriors, but Zelda characters. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I don't know. Like, The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes does not interest me. I would much prefer to play A Link Between Worlds and or Majora's Mask over again and or any of the great Zelda games that are available on the 3DS. I don't have to play Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes. I don't want a co-op game. Like, the difference between this game and Four Swords is that Four Swords is competitive. This game is co-op. I hate co-op games. I would prefer to be competitive. Mm-hmm. And, like, the whole, whatchamacallit, the ability to sort of, like, create a totem in order to reach new locations, like, seriously? Like, I mean, like, I look at a game like Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, whatever it's called. That game is amazing. It's got some amazing puzzles, and it's kind of hard at times. Mm-hmm. This is, like, the best they can do with this game, so I'm not interested in this game at all. This, to me, like, this is what I mean about the digital event being sort of like disappointing. I think that this game should have been announced in a direct, not during their E3 presentation, only because, like I said, nobody would be satisfied with any Zelda game but the Zelda game that we all wanted and didn't get. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we get Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. I don't know anything about Pokemon. Okay, Pokemon to me is like, it's like a foreign language. Like, you guys are Pokemon fans. What did you think?
I don't.
I actually haven't played a Pokemon game since Gold Silver. So yeah, me neither. I have no interest in, especially something that's just the Mystery Dungeon. I don't even know what that is.
Wow, don't you just love recording podcasts when we're so excited to talk about these video games? So then we get Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. Now, this game actually looks really good, but I still think it's a step down from the previous Animal Crossing game, because in this game, you basically just get to design the interior and the exteriors of home. So, like, the biggest problem with the old Animal Crossing games is that when it came to actually decorating your homes, it was like a little problematic, right? The thing about this game is I kind of feel like they started to make this game for the Wii U, and they started with the home design aspect of the game, and then it got so good that they decided to just kind of release it as its own game, as opposed to expanding on it and making like a real Animal Crossing game for the Wii U like we all wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, it feels just like another filler title to me.
Yeah, I mean, another way to throw in another Animal Crossing game. I mean, like, I don't know if I mentioned this on another podcast, but I'm not crazy about Animal Crossing. So when I saw this in the Nintendo press conference, I was like, oh great, now I get to decorate homes. So
super. Yeah, the sad truth is that I'm more interested in getting the Animal Crossing amiibo. Mm-hmm. I am in actually purchasing and or playing the actual video game.
Yeah.
So, like, the weird thing is they're going to be releasing a bundle which will launch the same day, and it will include the game, one amiibo card, and the NFC reader/writer accessory. So I believe they're basically going to release like a package where you get like one or two amiibo, right? Like the card, an amiibo figure, and the game. But I'm just like, all I want is the amiibo. Like, I really want KK Slider, for example. Even Tom Nook, but KK Slider. I would just want the amiibo. I'm not even sure if I would play this game. Like, I might, like, honestly, of all of the announcements for the 3DS, this is the one game I will most likely end up getting. I just don't know if this game is for me, because even Animal Crossing New Leaf, which I think is one of the best games released for the 3DS, it's an amazing game, but it's still not my kind of game. Like, I played it because it's so good, but I would still prefer to play something else on my 3DS, like Majora's Mask and or Xenoblade Chronicles and you name it. Yo-Kai Watch. Okay, so we all know the game sold millions and millions and millions of copies in Japan. This game is not at all for me. This is actually the third game in the series. And in this specific game, which was also released in Japan, it actually takes place in the U.S., right? So I guess it's interesting that they released the third game first here in the U.S., but then again, the actual game takes place in the U.S. So I don't know, man. This game, like, I was not even a big fan of Pokemon, so I'm not even entirely sure why I would want to play Yo-Kai Watch. Like, this game, to me, is, like, specifically for kids.
I don't know. I found it interesting. Considering all the 3DS titles that I saw, that was, like, probably the only one where I was, like, I could see myself playing that one. I mean, I have not played a Pokemon title in a long time, but it had an interesting art style that I quite enjoyed, that I would see myself playing anyway. So I don't know. I don't know if Ryan played it over at E3.
Reminds me of a Ni No Kuni.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's that art style. Like, I don't know. It was really attractive to me.
Yeah, well, you and millions of people, right? I mean, it's like the biggest thing in Japan right now. It's bigger than Pokemon. I mean, look, I'm glad they're releasing this game because it's going to make them a shitload of money. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if it actually becomes big here in North America. Like, I think they're going to release, like, cartoons, you know, God knows what else with this game when it launches, like they did with Pokemon. But I understand Pokemon got huge and it still is huge. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that this game, like, I just feel like this game is not going to be huge in North America.
I don't think it's going to be huge. It'll probably, like, be, it'll probably be known for people who follow, like, the Japanese scene, you know, like everyone who knows the going on in Japan. I think this one has a potential to be a little bit of a cult hit, but it looks interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. So we also got some footage of Fire Emblem Fates. They now changed the title from If to Fates. This is a game I'm actually very interested in, only because it's part of the Fire Emblem series. But the problem with this is that we didn't really get any game footage and or anything really of the game. We just got sort of like this weird animated montage sequence, which looked like it came from some like anime film. It didn't even look like a video game. Like, so that's a problem again with the digital event. It's like you show us a trailer for a game, but you don't give us any context or input or information about what the game is about and or what the gameplay is like. You know, is it multiplayer? Is it this? Is it that? So this game is actually set for release in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time in the series in which players take on the role of the main character and command an army while struggling to decide which path to follow. So this game, it sounds interesting based on what little we know of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wish we saw more of it.
Yeah, I mean, like right now they just gave you like a little teaser of what to expect. I mean, who knows how far in they're in development anyway. So if it's still in 2016, considering.
Ryan, did you get to see any footage or gameplay of this game or anything at the event?
No, I did not see anything Fire Emblem related there.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks interesting, but yeah, I didn't get a chance to play it or anything. I don't really know.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I don't think any of these games, like these, you know, these hardcore Japanese role-playing games are even ready to be released, even with, like, official game footage here in North America, because I just think it all has to do with localizing the game, like, actually translating it from Japanese to, like, English, so... Mm. All right, and then two more games to talk about before we get to the big one. Mario and Luigi Paper Jam.
I like that one.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
So this is like a
business. I actually really like that one. I got to play it. I don't know if you guys are fans of any of the Mario and Luigi or Paper Mario series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to play them on the DS, actually.
So you actually got to play it. So, okay, this game, I think, has promise. How's it like?
I mean, it plays just like a Mario and Luigi game, just with Paper Mario. It's not really adding anything too much. You just get more crazy scenarios, you know, with Paper Mario. Like, mm-hmm. you could be running from Petey Piranha in a boss battle, and Paper Mario will turn into a paper airplane, and then you could, like, hold on to him to, like, avoid sludge balls and whatnot. Yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, it doesn't look like anything crazy, just something... Mm-hmm.
Well, just introducing probably like new mechanics for the Mario and Luigi games.
Yeah, and we also had the announcement of Hyrule Warriors Legends, which was also leaked like 2 or 3 or 4 days prior to the digital event. So everyone knew they were going to be releasing Hyrule Warriors for the 3DS. So basically the Wii U version of Hyrule Warriors comes to Nintendo 3DS. with an added bonus, we get like a dude who can turn into like a boat. You know what I mean? Like we get some of the we get additional content being like additional characters like from the Wind Waker series. Mm. But I'm like, again, like I'm not a big fan of Hyrule Warriors to begin with, and I'm not gonna go buy a new game for my 3DS because the Wii U game was just like okay in my opinion. So again, like this was completely disappointing. I kind of feel like I want Nintendo to just like give up on the 3DS and not on the Wii U, even though I just bought the 3DS. I actually love the 3DS, but I think like I just prefer my home consoles. Mm-hmm. And I think Nintendo just needs to focus on like home consoles right now.
Well, considering the hardware that's in the Wii U, I mean, there's so much more to use.
Finally make us a hybrid machine, you know, so we can play on the go and play at home, but something.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, of course, we got Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Yeah, remember when we talked about the Nintendo World Championship? We saw Blast Ball.
Oh yeah, everybody was talking about how Blast Ball looked like a Metroid game.
Exactly.
There was like speculation all over the internet, like, oh, it's the new Metroid game, and everyone's like, yeah, right, like no way, this is new Metroid game, and sure enough,
lo and behold,
sure, but it's not even the Metroid game. Like Blast Ball is an add-on to the Metroid game, which is called Federation Force, which is a game that doesn't even feature everyone's beloved. Favorite character from the series. So what's up with that, guys?
I don't know. All I know, there's a lot of angry people out there right now. A lot of angry fans. But I really don't know what Nintendo was. I mean, technically, like, Rick, your prediction was right. You predicted that there's going to be a Metroid game.
Oh, no. I predicted two Metroid games.
Are you predicted too?
It's on my write-up. I predicted two. Go back to the podcast. I predicted two Metroid games.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got that down.
Well, he was very broad with his selection.
I actually, if you want to go through my predictions really quick. So the first thing I predicted was New Super Mario 3D World for the 3DS. I thought they were going to release a Mario game for the 3DS because I was like, okay, well, like I said, they would release a Mario game for the 3DS. So technically, they did. I wanted Super Mario 3D World, right? Mm-hmm. I said two Metroid games, one possibly from Retro, one possibly from Next Level. In this case, they are both from Next Level, and it's two games in one. Yeah. I said DNA mobile games, we didn't get in the digital event. I said more amiibo, which we got, of course, including Animal Crossing and like, you know, stuff like Star Fox, because there's rumors about the Star Fox cockpit, whatever you call it, not the cockpit, the
R-Wing.
Thank you. They're gonna make an amiibo figure of that.
Okay.
I said Super Mario Wii U 30 year anniversary bundle, which can still happen because I think we can get it in come September. The thing is, it's weird because I said Next Level Games would be working also on something like Mario Strikers and or some sort of weird soccer game, right? Mm-hmm. So I was sort of right. We got a weird soccer game from Next Level Games, but it's not Mario Strikers or anything related to Mario. It's Metroid.
It's Metroid.
Metroid.
Soccer.
I was so close.
Well, you're close in two parts, right? I mean, we got a striker-ish game.
Yeah,
and we got Metroid.
Yeah, and we also got the Mario Tennis. Yeah,
and
so
the Mario Tennis.
It's like I have these visions, but I only see glimpses of what is actually coming out. I also said that they would announce something to do with Pokken Tournament. Like, I know Bandai Namco, they usually make their games for the arcade, and they make it exclusive for the arcade for a year. Mm. And then after a year, they consider releasing it on consoles. So this game just got released, right? Or is getting released. So I figure, okay, so it's going to take at least a year before we have a chance of seeing it on the Wii U. Mm. But I thought maybe they can, like, sort of make some partnership with Bandai Namco and convince them to sort of, like, at least let them announce that it's coming to the Wii U. Mm-hmm. But not even an announcement, which is kind of disappointing because that game is going to be huge. And my final prediction, well, there's two, was the Super NES Remix. I thought for sure we were going to get that, especially because they used the NES Remix, Ultimate Remix, for the Nintendo World Championship. Did not get it. Very disappointed in that. And, of course, I said that they would release some sort of Earthbound game on the Wii U. And they did. But I said it would either be like the original games being released for the very first time and or a package. So we're getting the very first game released called Earthbound Beginnings. But anyways... Mm. back to Metroid Federation Force. Here's the thing about this game. So everyone is upset, but Ryan, are you upset? Are you one of the angry fans?
I'm indifferent. I mean, I played Hunters on the DS, and that was okay. I'm just not expecting too much from it. I think if I was like, oh man, they're gonna announce a Metroid Prime game, I'd be more mad. But I wasn't expecting too much, so I mean, it is what it is to me.
Yeah, but this is what everyone was expecting, especially that the rumor mill was spinning. I mean, like, when you think about it, we haven't heard anything out of Retro, though. I mean, did we?
No, but you know what the problem is? Sorry, just quickly. The problem is they called it Metroid Prime Federation Force. Prime.
It's even in the series.
Even if you kept the name Metroid and eliminated Prime, I think it would have less of a heated reaction, or even just call it Federation Force.
So you think, but just because Prime is in there, it might have sparked a huge riot? Well, not a huge riot.
I think people are angry because they wanted, a Metroid game like either Super Metroid and or the first Prime game, and we get Federation Force, which of course doesn't include Samus.
It looks like a Metroid game, but it's just like in essence, like it's just, it doesn't feel like it's a Metroid game. Like I feel like it's a sorry excuse to use the name.
Well, it's still part of the Metroid universe, right? Mm-hmm. And it does use the Federation Force. So it does use these characters that have appeared in the series in the past. But the thing is, like, it's kind of like they presented it like a Metroid game, not like it's a spinoff.
Yeah.
It's like The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. You don't expect Rick Grimes to be in Fear of the Walking Dead. That's a spinoff, right? So it's clear it's a spinoff. And I think that's why people were pissed off, because they didn't come... The message was, we are giving you a new Metroid game, not we are giving you a spinoff to add to the mythology and lore of this universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that Samus is not there, it's like, why? But anyway, and at the same time too, like, we haven't talked about it. I mean, like, a lot of people are angry. Like, can we just also say how angry people are that they started a petition on change.org? Like, that's how crazy people got after that announcement.
But here's the thing. I have a problem with those people because, okay, you haven't played the game yet. So, yeah, you're angry and upset and disappointed that you're not getting the Metroid game that you sort of wanted to get. But no one's played this game yet. And can I just remind everyone that Nintendo's surprised us many, 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 many times in the past with all kinds of weird games. And some of them have been like a success, like financially and in terms of like them selling lots of copies, but the game hasn't been very good. And some have been a success in the sense that they're critically acclaimed, everyone loves them, and they sell copies, right? This game might actually be good for all we know. I mean, just the idea of playing online with four players, it looks like it's no different. It doesn't look any different in any first person shooter except it takes place in the Metroid Prime universe. This could be a step into a bigger game. And so that's what they said. The creator said he's trying to expand on these characters in the universe before they go ahead and make this big game for, in this case, I think it's the NX, because I think they already gave up on the Wii, they said. Yeah.
I mean, at this point...
Yeah, I guess we can't count them out for sure.
Yeah, I think the problem is the title, the fact that it wasn't really sold as a spinoff and sold as a Metroid game, and the fact that they decided to add Metroid Blast Ball within this game, which is just like ridiculous. Like, that could have been like free content, like a free downloadable game you get if you buy this game, but the whole package kind of feels like this is like the second middle finger they're giving fans this year.
You know what's funny is I was playing Splatoon earlier and someone drew Samus and she's all saying like, hey, can I hang out with you, Squiz? My franchise just died earlier this week.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm hoping it's actually going to be good, and then Nintendo can...
And
then you can all eat crow, okay?
Yeah. You know what? Maybe it'll surprise people, just like how the way Splatoon surprised me.
Splatoon surprised everyone. When Splatoon was first announced last year, people were like, what is this?
Well, exactly. I was one of those people, too. I was like, what? You know?
Yeah, like, honestly, it's like my criticism, and it isn't... actual game, because I haven't played the game, I just don't like the way it was presented. Like, I kind of feel like it was a disservice to Nintendo to present it like a Metroid game. It's not, just because it takes place in the Metroid universe doesn't mean you still have to call it a Metroid game, but they do it because they want to sell the game, right? Like, if you don't call it a Metroid game, people aren't going to want to buy it. But it's a no-win situation, because if you don't call it a Metroid game, you never know. It could actually become a success, right? Like, the thing about Nintendo is they need to keep on releasing games within the Super Mario, Zelda, Metroid, and even like Star Fox and so on and so forth franchises, right? Because those games will always be moneymakers for them, right? But they also need to give us new IPs and reinvent themselves and create and develop new games, publish new games. They need a bit of both. And so the problem with E3 this year is I don't see anything new. And so the theme, according to Reggie, for the digital presentation this year is transformation. So it's all about transformation. And I see transformation in Star Fox, right? You see it in the opening. You see it when Miyamoto starts talking about his inspiration for making a game and the features in the game, et cetera, et cetera. I do not see transformation anywhere else in the digital event, because to me it feels like it's the same old, same old. It's like, here's a new Mario sports game. Here's a new Mario Luigi game. Here's a new Zelda game for the 3DS, but it's not the Zelda game you want. Here's, you know, this and this and that. Like, all it just kind of, here's a new Fire Emblem game. Like, it's either sequels and or games that look very similar to games we've already played. So
yeah, which was like one of my, I mean, like, just Metroid aside, I mean, it's like, it's just that was my exact feeling too, watching the digital event. It was because, like, we knew a lot of these games already, and just the fact that there was so, it was the surprise was so lackluster, like from the titles that we didn't know was announced. I mean, it was just like, really, do we really care about this one?
I actually thought the direct that they released on Sunday, in which they announced the downloadable content for Super Smash, I thought that was more exciting than the second half of the digital presentation, right? No. And also, the Nintendo World Championships was far more exciting than the digital presentation. They could have just done the Nintendo World Championships and throughout the show just showcase all of the stuff, and it would have been way better. But here's the thing. Nintendo, because they have the direct, like, I kind of feel like they maybe think that they don't need to show everything at E3 anymore, and they could show it when they want, how they like, you know, it's at just any time throughout the year. So I get it, but they better come strong with their next direct is all I'm saying, because it cannot go a year without showing fans something they actually want to see.
I find it crazy though, because E3 is this huge, you know, trade-in show. I would expect them to want to show, you know, the best.
It's the time where all the media is in one room. Like, how do you not want to present the biggest thing that you have in your arsenal? I mean, it's crazy. Or even the whole world is watching too.
So Ryan, is there anything else that you can add to the conversation before we close off the show here about the actual event? Maybe you can recommend, maybe you can give our listeners advice if they are attending E3 for the very first time, say next year.
Okay, if you're attending E3, bring a lot of water and try to stay out of LA traffic. I almost died like 5 times.
Really?
So yeah, once you're in E3, it's all smooth sailing. Just survive until you're inside the building.
And wear comfortable shoes, I imagine?
Yes, my legs are still killing me.
Oh, really?
All right, so that's about it. That's our special on Nintendo's digital E3 presentation. Ryan, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Desert Ocelot, or I write a lot of stuff for soundonsite.org. So yeah, check me out.
And Aaron, where can we find you online?
You can find me at TheTrimless6 on Twitter, and you can also catch me hosting APC Gaming Podcast over at ftwgamingpodcast.com.
All right, and my name is Ricky D. Once again, you can find me over at soundonsite.org, where I act as editor-in-chief on Twitter, soundonsite. Like us on Facebook. Give us a rating on iTunes if you like the show. Share our post on Twitter, Tumblr. We can use the support. We are always looking for contributors over at soundonsite.org. So if you like playing video games and you want the chance to head over to E3 and or PAX East and or any film festival events, et cetera, et cetera, and write about games, shoot us an email. We're always looking for writers. The email would be feedback@soundonsite.org. We'll be back next week. We're not sure what we're doing yet, but it's going to be fun, I promise you, because we have a few ideas to choose from. So we have an idea of what we can do. We just haven't decided. But one of the five ideas, trust me, you're going to want to stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so thank you, Ryan, once again for joining us. And hopefully next time we talk, it'll be a little bit more exciting. Hopefully next year we will actually meet up in person at E3. That would be incredible.
That would be awesome.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is Ricky D signing off. This has been N-Express, Sound Insight's official Nintendo podcast.
Chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your office early next week.